Blog Talk Radio.
What the hell is the world coming to?
I guess everybody got that. That was Buford. But anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Michael Connelly, the host of the show tonight. We have an interesting show prepared for you. I hope that anybody who calls in and listens will take this as an approach to help explain the confusion and so forth and so on that has developed as a result of the news media and a multitude of other people. I mean, it's gotten to the point now where everybody's blaming everybody. I mean, people think it's fake and not real. Other people think it's a tool that the government is using to confuse and discredit people. So I think that it deserves time on the air to try to answer some of these questions for people who simply do not have the know-how to research or the ability to discern certain things. Now, the one thing I do want to go over quickly before I do any introductions is that I want the language, please, no F-bombs, no cursing if at all possible. And I know that's difficult at times, but if people use their heads for something besides a hat rack, they can contain themselves in that manner. If someone calls in with a bad attitude about it, like typically some rednecks do, just listen to what they've got to say and then answer as best you can and leave it at that, because those people don't want to learn about it. All they've got is the ninja warriors on Facebook that feed them false information all the time. And as my doctor told me several weeks ago, he said, I can't force you to take any of the vaccines, but I can sure recommend them, because there's just way too much misinformation out on the social media. And with that, I'd like to introduce my co-host, Ms. Eva Murmur. Eva, how are you doing today?
Guy, you take the fun out of F-bomb. you had to have known that was going to come, because as soon as you said it, I'm going, fun, he's taking the fun away from the show. Oh, Michael. No, I'm doing pretty good. We're having some strange kind of monsoonish, but not monsoonish weather here. You know, it's switching, and it's like, oh, I need my pool. But no, I'm doing pretty good, Michael. Thank you for asking.
Okay, that's pretty good. Patrick, how about you? How are you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm doing fine. I survived another Monday at work.
When are you going to retire, dude?
Well, I'm 80% this year. I'll be less than that next year. I'm not sure how much less, but probably a whole lot less soon. The problem is I like what I do. And it's useful.
Exactly. Okay, well, my other guest has not called in yet, so we're going to go ahead and start without Jerry. Hopefully he will call in. Who knows? He lives in Illinois, and God knows that place is a disaster. But let's go ahead and start. Patrick, if you would, please, give us any information that you may have on the manufacturing of the virus, how it's manufactured, and how is it that when it's manufactured, all of these horrible stories come out about this, which apparently don't appear to hold much water. Am I way off base on that?
Well, first of all, you use the word the virus is manufactured. And
yeah.
I'm not sure that we know that. There is certainly a lot of suspicion that, you know, the Fauci gain-of-function studies funded in the Wuhan viral lab, you know, they may have taken a virus and adapted it to do certain things. That's not known. There's certainly a lot of circumstantial evidence hovering around it, not the least of which is the Chinese avoiding or sharing any information about the early stage of the pandemic. So I have a lot of suspicions that it is a manufactured virus, and all I know is it is a real disease in the real world affecting lots of people everywhere. And at this point, we don't know, and certainly the Chinese are going to block anybody knowing it to the best they can. You know, there seems like a new commission with every administration and every who and whatever, and they all get disbanded. There was another one from Columbia University this week that was trying to do it, and they disbanded it because they didn't think that their research would be credible because they had research associations with that Evercore, whatever it is, lab that funnels the funds to the Wuhan lab. So, you know, follow the money, of course, always applies. And I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of funding coming from China to Columbia University, you know, pursuant to their stopping to look at China. But whatever. We don't know exactly where it comes from, although many people have suspicions. How do you do it was one of the questions you asked. And it's the same way that we do any kind of genetic modification of any type of things, from tomatoes to lambs that can secrete milk that can make spider webs. You go in there and you find some type of genetic material that you can graft into the DNA or the RNA in case of the coronavirus, to give it a different characteristic for whatever purpose. The interesting thing to me early in my search was the receptor that the coronavirus attaches to. It's called the ACE2 receptor, which is part of the renin-angiotensin hormonal system for regulating blood pressure, basically. And I did some research on that I found very interesting. The renin-angiotensin system has been around for 400 million years.
May I interject
really
quickly?
May I interject really quickly?
Just due to the fact you brought up the blood pressure. Now, what exactly would it do to the blood pressure? Because I'm one of those people in the category of high blood pressure. And so I am, you know, of course, I'm on medication to lower my blood pressure. So what exactly does it do? How does it affect the blood pressure?
Well,
because we're lay people, okay? You are talking a lot of foreign language to us, and so sometimes you got to pull back on the reins and explain it to the lay folk like us. What the heck?
Well,
you're
you
talking
see,
about?
this was my problem that I had to deal with. Why would a bat coronavirus have something that would attach to a human ACE2 receptor that's in the human renin-angiotensin system? That was what I thought was the direction that it did for the gain of function. When I researched it, though, this system has been around for 400 million years since the first fish vertebrates existed, and it's been a very stable
kind of system that doesn't change a lot. So that kind of knocked that theory out of my mind that, you know, if they had done something deliberately to attach this receptor.
So I had thought that
it was very odd that a bat coronavirus would have anything to do with human proteins.
Okay, because...
But I can't go anywhere with that because this is a very stable system that's in all vertebrates for 400 million years. So it's not that incredible to me at this point. The interesting thing is that receptor is something that called down modulates the angiotensin II molecule. And the angiotensin II molecule not only regulates blood pressure, but it also is called a pro-inflammatory drug, not drug, but hormone. It makes white cells come in. It makes inflammation occur. And it's just part of the organic structure of the human body where hormones in the blood pressure system also affect the immune response. It's just a wonderful way that we're made. And so what coronavirus does is it enters the cell through this down-modulating protein. And just like anybody who finishes drinking a bottle of water, they just throw the bottle down on the ground wherever they are. The carcass of the coronavirus is there stuck in the ACE receptor after it injects the RNA into the cell. But having this debris of a viral carcass in that receptor keeps the receptor from down-modulating the angiotensin II. So you have a buildup of the angiotensin II that causes this inflammatory response. Now, that's the theory that I'm working on. And so there are really two diseases. There are two diseases, and this is something that has never really been explained. There is an acute viral illness that is generally very mild. Like my brother and his wife, they both vaccinated, but they recently have had it. Mild symptoms, they're getting over it. And, you know, the viral thing is very quickly dispatched by most people who do not have, you know, immune compromised conditions. And then there is the immune phase that occurs later that I believe is due to the inability of the body to get rid of angiotensin II because all of the receptors are clogged up with carcasses of coronavirus. That's the mechanism that I think is going on. So that explains why, you know, people have this viral illness and then they later end up going to the hospital. And I see this in the chest X-ray. I'm a radiologist, and so I see a lot of people in Seoul have like 780 cases that I've collected since March of last year. And they have horrible interstitial lung disease. Not all of them, but many of them do. And
okay, so your specialty is radiology,
right? Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to clarify that because I allegedly have every underlying symptom that there possibly can be, but I'm not 100%. I mean, I'm overweight because of the shutdown.
In other words, COPD. You know, they told us that we would flatten the curves, but when I stayed home and did my own cooking, I ended up having more curves than I had before it began.
They
are not flat.
I like that. So I'm right there with you, and, you know, I have high blood pressure, yada, 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 and but I do take a substantial amount of vitamin D3 daily and zinc and other homeopathic medicines along with that. And I'm not a mask wearer. I have not hunkered down and huddled in my house with my doors closed. I go out and about. I socialize and everything like that. And I'm good to go. I haven't had the flu in over 20 years.
I'll tell you something funny. Just before I got on tonight, I saw this, I think it was Wall Street Journal, some article.
Uh-huh.
We're going to have a flu season this year that's worse than last year. Duh. We didn't have one last year. Anything would be worse than last year because everything, but if we had the flu, they called it as COVID.
Exactly. And this is where a lot of people do get confused. I mean, for one thing, the mainstream media is not our friend. Okay, they're considered the fourth branch of government. So it's just propaganda. And if they don't, and they're trying to stifle.
Well,
it
also is money. It's money.
Oh, for sure.
It's propaganda,
for sure.
But every time you click on something, you know, they get paid
something. Right.
So that's why they have all these non-articles with misleading headlines, because someone will click on it, or you'll click on
right.
it just so you can make a comment like, well, this is a non-article. Well, they still make money.
Hence the
and
word.
That's the whole way the
clickbait.
Whole internet is set up. Yeah,
yep,
it's clickbait.
Exactly.
And I do it. I click it. Well, and I also learned, you know, when you see these Facebook things that says, blah, 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 learn more. Learn more is a sign that it's a clickbait article.
Well, yeah, I just, are you familiar with Ben Swan at all?
Yes. I've
okay.
watched some of his stuff.
Ben Swan
and
was
he's just
actually
been kicked out of YouTube.
Yes. His show that used to be on mainstream media called Reality Check was taken off the air because he was investigating the ongoing Pizzagate, you know, the child molestation ring
right.
and
yeah.
child trafficking ring. And so he was annihilated off there. Well, his very last YouTube posting was he started off and he said, these are the facts, and I had the privilege of being able to see it, the facts from the CDC's own website. A total of 8 in-hospital COVID-19 related deaths in persons aged 0 to 17 years occurred during August 2020 through to August 2021, 0.4% of hospitalized patients. Now, that is what got him terminated off of YouTube this time. And very sad to say that, you know, the truth, and he was just sharing what the CDC what the CDC's website says, and he gets terminated for telling the truth.
That
just sharing, you know, it's just bizarre to me that so many people have been getting eliminated, erased for telling the truth. And you're a very interesting person, Patrick. Thank you for being on Michael's show tonight.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going back to your homeopathic medicines.
Yeah.
These things are known that
you need to have vitamin D on board. And this is something very important. Vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin. And for those of us who are overweight, if you are vitamin D deprived and you suddenly take some vitamin D, it's going to go bind to all of your fat, and it's not really available to help your immune system. So
well, I also
very,
go
so
ahead,
it's
I'm
very
fine.
Important. It takes like 10 days for you to get enough vitamin D to saturate your fat to then be available. So you need have started your vitamin D 10 days before you get COVID.
Oh, I've been taking it for probably 2 years.
I know. I'm not talking about you. But I'm saying that you can't wait until you get COVID and then start taking vitamin D. That is a very, very specific thing about that specific vitamin.
Oh,
so everybody should be on it. Everybody should get some sunshine. Not enough to make skin cancer, but, you know, you need to have your 10 minutes of sun a day or take the vitamin D, drink vitamin D milk. You can't go into COVID being vitamin D deficient. That came out of Italy. You know, those first studies that people in ICU who were dying were also vitamin D deprived.
So that would make perfect sense for the mainstream media to tell us to stay in our houses.
Yeah, right, so that you can't get vitamin D. Yeah, so.
Right. Okay, how many? Okay, it depends upon, I normally take 20,000 units of vitamin D a day. And I go out in the outside as much as possible too. I'm a swimmer, so I swim a lot.
And I think that's probably overkill. And like I take every day, I take a multivitamin, and I also take a little supplement, but they have like 200 units. And then once a month, I take a 50,000. I don't think you need 20,000 a day. It's not hurting you, but I just go overboard on that.
Okay, I have another question for you on the vitamin D though. Is it true that your body, you can't overdose on vitamin D because your body will expel it, you know, once you've had enough? Say like vitamin C is the same premise, or am I wrong?
Well, we'll talk about vitamin C differently because that's an entirely different physiology. I'm not sure. I think you could probably overdose on vitamin D, and you know, there's no point in taking more than you need. And if you have, you know, your 1,000 units a day in a multivitamin, and you take it every day, that's probably going to be sufficient. And I would take maybe 2 of your 20,000 every month, like on the 1st and the 15th or something like that. But I wouldn't take that much every day. It's not needed, and you'll save a few shekels if you face them out.
Okay.
It's no big expense. But the other thing you said, vitamin C. Now, vitamin C really has a chance to help people in the acute phase. But you have to take a very large dose measured in grams, like 5 grams every 2 or 4 every 4 hours. Vitamin C is water soluble. And so if you take it, you're going to pee most of it out within 4 hours. So, you know, that's when they always say, well, people take vitamins, it's all going into the toilet. That's true. Vitamin C can have a good anti-inflammatory effect while it has the peak serum concentration. And so, but to get enough concentration, you have to take a very large dose. And you're not going to hurt yourself by taking it a large dose if your stomach can handle it, and it may give you diarrhea because...
We, gotcha. Been there, done that. I mean, from eating like three oranges. I mean, it has done it to me. But I have a question, though, is that, because there is a doctor that I do follow on YouTube, won't mention his name, but he is a Scientologist. I just found that out, but he's a good doctor as far as I can tell. And but as far as vitamin C goes, and all the vitamins, recommended brands, because it is like I can't. My son was trying to pump me in, pump vitamin C into me, and so I was taking these chewable tablets, and as soon as I took them, I'm going, oh my gosh, I didn't read the ingredients, and I'm allergic to like aspartame and anything that is an artificial sweetener.
I don't take any of those. Also, I would not do chewable vitamin C.
Because
vitamin C is an acid. So you're going to be bathing the enamel of your teeth with acid. Why would you want to do that?
Gotcha.
So you need to swallow the pills and have them dissolve in your stomach so that you don't rot your teeth out.
So where is a good place for us to purchase our vitamins if we don't get all these nutrients from the foods that we're supposed to be eating instead of the, you know, the... non-foods that we consume?
Well, but I mean, if you get vitamin D milk, you're probably going to have it, and you drink it, you know, a couple of glasses a day.
I quit drinking milk altogether for approximately 15 years, and so I kind of like, well, it felt like I made myself lactose intolerant, but I introduced it back into my diet, so I do drink milk now, but I hadn't for such a long time. So my only resource of vitamin D basically was the sun and, you know, the my vitamins.
Yeah, so I think you're okay on the vitamin D. I just wouldn't do 20,000 a day. That's overkill.
Do you suggest like going to a health food store to get our vitamins?
No, I use Centrum.
Okay.
And then I order online from Amazon 50,000 unit vitamin D3 tablet, and everybody in my family takes one on the first day of every month. And I've been doing that for 20 years, you know, because I ran into an internist who said, you need to have your level checked, and I was low. And they said, well, there's no reason for it to be low when all these medicines are around, so just take it. And I'm a milk drinker. I love milk.
Mm-hmm. So there isn't a specific site on Amazon to go to? I mean, because I try and use those kind of sites as as less as possible,
you can get it from health food store. You can get it from grocery store, Nature's Bounty. There are all sorts of ones. I think most of them, I go for the cheapest one. You know, I don't go for the packaging that this is going to make me into a goddess or something. I just want D3. You know.
Thank you, Patrick. I greatly appreciate that because I was at a vitamin quandary.
and you can go, you know, to the shelf in the grocery store and you see three different brands all right by each other, and the price is crazy different between the generic brand and the other brand. They're probably all made in India anyway, and the expensive one you can sometimes get 2-for-1. Which brings them back to a normal price. So a lot of money that's been on vitamins that really don't need
sense. Oh, for sure. Again, follow
and
the money.
They know.
Well, Patrick, let me ask you that. Let me ask you a quick question, Patrick. You had mentioned to me in a message one time about the drinking water when I was growing up. And, of course, we drank water that had mosquito larvae squiggling around in the water and came from a tank that was coated with zinc. And my grandmother forced us into the garden and played in the dirt. We wallowed in the mud with the pigs and this kind of stuff because my grandmother told us, well, and you know, you remember Cordy. I mean, a kid wouldn't be healthy if they didn't eat a pound of dirt a year. Of course, she wasn't actually talking about going out there with a spoon. And
well, what she's talking about is you need to live close to the earth. That is our environment.
That's right.
Is living close to the earth. And we have created this artificial environment where everything is spick and span. And I know my mother, probably your mother too, they probably sterilized bottles, you know, when we were all babies. You know, I never did that. I said, these children have digestive systems that have been around for, you know, 200 million years. They're as good as mine. They can eat whatever I eat. You know, a lot of pediatricians don't introduce any solid foods before, you know, they're 13 years old. You know, I just gave my kids from like age 3 to age 6 months, I started feeding them what I eat. I figured they have all the digestive enzymes to, you know, to handle whatever humans put down their gullets. And they both grew up.
Well, the reason
I think we just need to look close to the earth and, you know, all those little
The reason I asked you that, Patrick, is because in some kind of way, I don't know if it's a blessing or what it is, but having grown up with Cordy, our grandmother, taught me a whole lot because she was a very smart woman. Now, I'm wondering if her attitude about the way we were growing up, the earth thing, has anything to do with the fact that when I was a kid and we were required to get a smallpox vaccination, which was at that time, they just on your shoulder, they'd daub a little jelly there and then it'd stick you with a pin. Never, ever. I must have had 15 of those, and never, ever would it ever take. And the doctor then, his name was Dr. Hahn out of Boston, he told my mom, he says, I don't know what it is. The kid must be immune to smallpox. So what I'm asking is,
Oop, are you there?
Michael, let me check the studio. Michael, did you mute yourself? Okay.
Well,
I will
respond to that a little bit.
Okay.
Michael was a little bit closer to the dirt than I was because he lived in town and he spent half of his life on that farm working with it. I was always living away, but I was in the dirt whenever we would visit, and at the dirt at home, and I was out at the dirt planting garlic before I came in here tonight. And, you know, this is just something that was trained into us by our parents and the grandparents, that you live close to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Michael, I did have the response, get a scab from the smallpox vaccination. Smallpox is very interesting because you'll sometimes see that brought up as, well, we had mandatory vaccinations, and that's what wiped smallpox out from the face of the earth.
Right.
Whenever that's brought up, you can easily mention to people that the smallpox vaccination was originated in 1795, and it became mandatory in the U.S. in like 1930 or something like that. So it had been around for like 140 years. And so it had a proven track record of being safe, tested all over England for over a century. And so it was a vaccine that was well known of what it would do. And so to make something like that mandatory, it's a very safe thing to do. Not so much the case with mRNA viruses and even the viral vector vaccines that that we've had developed in a few years' time.
Everything was just rushed through. Now, I'm sure the smallpox vaccine took years to develop. Okay, and I was
well,
under
actually,
the impression.
Well, actually, it did. You know, Jenner way back in 1795 saw that milkmaids didn't get smallpox. Also, we have to put into perspective, too, that smallpox had a 30% mortality rate. If 100 people got smallpox, 30 of them died. It was a devastating plague-like disease. With COVID, we don't have that degree of morbidity and mortality. 2% of people die, mostly old people or fat people or otherwise sick people. Nowhere near 30%, so it's certainly not, as devastating a disease as smallpox was, so there's not the same urgency.
Right.
And, he just saw, well, these cows have a thing that looks like smallpox. The milkmaids are around the cows. They sometimes get these things on their fingers, these sores, and they don't get smallpox. So this is where the whole concept of vaccine, as a matter of fact, the name of the vaccine comes from the Latin word vacca, meaning cow. You get the cow treatment. We're going to give you the cow treatment. We're going to give you extract from the cow's pox sores, and that protects you from getting smallpox. And so he didn't spend years developing it. He just went out there and found a cow and started giving it to people. And it worked, and it was safe, and it was studied for 140 years before it was made mandatory in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And, but that's a whole different context of a disease that's very serious that had a vaccine that was studied for a century compared to what we're dealing with.
Just as I read earlier, about that thing that came from the CDC's own website, this is, 8 children out of how many, I don't know, hundreds, millions of children, died. And we don't know if it was a positive from the COVID-19 because, as you and I had discussed before the show, coronavirus is an umbrella term for so many different things, or I said that. It falls under the category of the flu that has been eradicated since COVID.
Well, but again, we have to think about it then the same that cows, but then we have Holsteins and Herefords and Jerseys and Bremens, and so, they're all cows, so there are a lot of coronaviruses, and you all have them. But this is a novel one. This is a new cow on the block that does different things. I mean, I don't see the findings in chest x-rays from normal cold that I see in this.
But in, in a year's time, only 8 children have died allegedly from the COVID-19, which it could very well have just been the flu. We're not positive. We're not 100% positive of that. But 8 children. But now they are pushing hard and heavy for even 2-year-olds to get the vaccine. And I just think that it is, I don't know if you believe in, the Great Reset, a.k.a. the New World Order. So I don't know that about you. And if they do want to depopulate the world, they're doing a doggone good job of it by pushing this COVID-19.
Well, I can't help but pull back in the back of my mind that the Democrats were absolutely terrified by Trump rallies. And they knew that they could not win with the Trump economy. I mean, all that black employment, women unemployment, Hispanic unemployment at the lowest records ever.
Right.
Economy booming.
Right.
And, people, 50,000 people showing up to hear him. So, there was no way that if the status had remained quo, that he would not have been reelected. And in fact, he almost was reelected, and he may have been, there's still a lot of controversy, and it's just extremely hard to do the proper order to know. But nevertheless, we have a new president. We have a president of mine, but we have a new president. So whether she is funding and collusion behind the Clinton, they certainly took advantage of it. I mean, it has been used politically.
For sure.
Whether
Rahm
it was
Emanuel.
Intended to be used or not.
Rahm Emanuel, don't let a good crisis go to waste. And Tony Fauci used to hang out. He's a eugenist. He used to hang out with Bill Gates' dad, along with a lot of other, I just call them parasites. Because to me, that's what they are. They're just a handful compared to we the people. And I don't want to get too off topic tonight. I am still trying to get a hold of Michael. I told him to give me a call, and I can bring him in. I can do a 3-way call that way. He's not on the line right now. And unfortunately, he doesn't have a phone number where I can reach him. I do apologize for that. And Patrick, I mean, you being in the business of the medical profession, It's got to be a little daunting. I mean, because people will argue with you. I mean, I was ready to, pull out my what's that saying? You don't take a knife to a gunfight.
Right.
And I actually pictured you, so different and.
In other words, you had allowed some type of prejudging to color your mind, and now you are now experiencing the real world. So that's something that we all have to do. Is we have echo chambers. Is that Michael there?
We have a caller with her hand up. I'm not sure this possibly could be Michael.
Well, I'll let you handle
somebody
it.
Else. So yeah. So 978. Hello.
I'm back.
Hooray.
Well, you know, what it is that our internet out here is so bizarre. Suddenly, as I was asking that question to Patrick, I lost my network connection. And I had to go back and reset the adapter in this damn computer in order to get it to work again. So
who's
no.
this phone number you're calling from?
I'm not. I call it, what phone number did you give?
A 978 number.
978?
Yeah,
no,
that's
not
Skype.
Oh, that is Skype. That is Skype. Yeah,
that's Skype.
So.
Ah, okay. Okay, that's your new number there, Michael.
Everybody goes by an alias these days.
Well, usually when Michael calls from a Skype, the number pops up 0000000. All of it is zeros. So that's how come when I get a different number from Michael, it's like, who is this? Why are you stalking me?
I don't know whose number that is, 978-330-6637. All I did was got on Skype and dialed the 319 number, and that's the number that popped up. So, well, anyway,
yep.
I'm
well,
back.
Well, that's your number now, baby.
She's got your number.
I do. I'll write it on the bathroom wall. But I was telling Patrick that I had, you know, I had a total misconception of him, and I want to publicly apologize that, you know, because Patrick, you and I could have been Facebook best friends. I mean, I would have pushed Michael.
Well, actually,
we
were. I was following your page for a long time. I mean, it just gets to be so much that you can't follow everything.
And sometimes I was on a hiatus for a little over 6 months, almost 7 months off of Facebook altogether, my choice. And
that's probably a good choice. It's not exactly the best psychological environment.
If it hadn't been
your choice, you would have been kicked off.
And I have been
very busy.
I have been kicked off for many years at a time too.
The other thing about the time that I may have stopped following you was when I also was stopping to follow any of the QAnon stuff. I was following them because at first it was very interesting when they were not getting into blood sucking and so many of the really extreme stuff. But when they were dealing with the intrigue and the real QAnon posts that always seemed to be very pertinent and like 10 days ahead of the news, that really intrigued me. And I followed that for a while. But then all that satanic cult, it may be true, but it was just more than I really needed to follow. And
yeah,
so I just stopped following a lot
of
stuff.
I totally believe that Hollywood and so many of the political parasites are involved in satanic practices. I do believe that. I mean, I've done a couple of shows on it, and, you know, facts is facts, and there is no denying. But Q itself, I mean, I had to question so much of that stuff. Trust the plan, you know, wait for the plan. And it's like, you know, wait, what my mama would say, wait is what broke the wagon down. And it's like, it's like for many years I finally realized what she meant, you know, and because it was W-E-I-G-H-T instead of W-A-I-T.
Right.
And it's like, okay, because my mom had all these weird things, like Heck All Friday. And I still, you know, she's been deceased for quite a while. And it's like, when it was Heck All Friday, what did that ever mean, Mom?
Well, Patrick, let me ask you a different question about this with the COVID thing. You know, if Jerry Davis, for some reason, didn't call in, he said he was going to. But he brought up something when I was talking to him the other day, that there was a doctor at Harvard, I believe, or one of those Ivy League schools, who proved, at least according to Jerry Davis, that that the COVID virus was manufactured in a Petri dish, and things went berserk after that in terms of how it has affected the people. Now, this is what I believe. I believe that the federal government, I know this sounds conspiratory, but it's how I feel about it. I think the government picked up on this and said, aha, we've got a tool, another tool that we can use. And because everybody in the government that I see is hell-bent on getting all of us vaccinated, which may or may not be a good idea, depending on the person.
Actually, it's more than that. They are hell-bent on getting everybody subjugated.
Right, right.
So, and this is a tool to do that, and it's worked.
That
people are staying at home. They sacrifice the economy. They can get everybody to wear masks, and you know.
But didn't
one of
you
the
have
things
that
I find very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you,
look,
have you ever seen a big old round sphere with spikes on it coming at you in the news programs like every night? The
that's
same one on
thought.
ABC and CNN. You know what I'm talking about, the big old spiky a thing that is coming at you behind every newscast.
Yeah.
But this
guess who the author and publisher of that photo is?
Who?
The CDC.
Really?
That picture was available in January of last year. And they are the owners and producers of that logo. Now, when you want to do a program, let's pretend like we're Hitler. What do we need? We need a twisted cross. We need red banners. We need a salute. We need, you know, things that identify people in the group as opposed to those who are not in the group. And if you're not in the group, you get to wear a pink star or a gold star, you know, Star of David on your shoulder, you know. We are the ins and you are the outs. They already had this logo for the pandemic. Now, I'm not talking about the disease. I'm talking about the whole program. They already had this logo in January before, as the time that they were rolling out the virus. Now,
because look at the TED Talks with Bill Gates, and he did that in October of 2018, and you know, they were giving out little toy which looks like a virus. It was like a plush toy, and it was shaped like a virus. They were giving those out, and then you have to.
They probably had viruses in them.
Probably, but no doubt. But you know, Patrick, I'm really digging you, man. You're becoming really my best friend. But another thing is that people have to question why the heck is in all these mandates, which are not laws, mind you, that all of Congress is going to be exempt from getting the prick.
There's a very interesting angle to this. I follow the Constitution.
Right.
And I wish that the government did. The executive branch has authority over the executive branch. So Biden can say all the people in the executive branch, including the military, have to be vaccinated. So, okay, he can do that for the executive branch. He cannot tell
the legislative branch or the judicial branch how to handle their affairs, because we have
separation of
powers. So
that's right.
So the exemption of Congress and the Supreme Court, I'm all for that, because is maintaining the power. Now, there are other ways in which the legislature exempts itself from things like Obamacare and has their own health care program and blah, 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 that are corrupt. But in this particular instance, I have no problem with, and it's not that he exempted them, he just has no authority over them.
Right. But there's all this verbal jargon has people, people are scared. They hear this, mandate. Okay, so these people all of a sudden believe that it is a law, and it's like people have been dumbed down for so many years, and I know Michael hates that expression when I use it, but it is so factual.
True, and they don't teach civics anymore.
Right, and it is just so utterly sad that people are masking up their one-year-old babies and getting them vaccinated against the prick against the Rona. And it is just so utterly sad. I just cannot believe the stupidity that people have absorbed over these years. It's like common sense. There is no, like your grandmother, okay? Total common sense. I mean, especially back in those days, they had glass bottles. They didn't have plastic bottles for babies. So they're really, you could have ran it under cold water. That would have been fine.
Well,
okay?
You also didn't throw it away every time you used it.
Exactly.
I can't believe the amount of, and we don't really have a lot of trash because, we have a compost heap, so no wet trash goes out, and we try to avoid having a lot of refuse, but you can't buy any food that doesn't have a piece of plastic on it.
Exactly.
Either wrapping around it or the bag that it comes in or in the surface of the cardboard container or the liner of the can. You cannot at all buy any food without buying plastic.
And then,
right.
Then they come out with, plastic is not only harmful for the environment, it causes cancer too. Now you have to find BPA-friendly plastic. Now, is Saran Wrap BPA-friendly? I don't know. I as much as possible, I use glass containers.
Yeah.
So I'm
well,
just...
The sad part about it is when you look out in the Pacific Ocean, there is 100 square miles of garbage, plastic, floating in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And then people wonder why turtles have plastic stuck in their damn nostrils. Well, my God, look, and I don't know that that'll ever be cleaned up. We are the most wasteful people I've ever seen in my life. I mean, when I was in Vietnam, I can tell you this for a fact. When those people went through a garbage dump, what was left, there was nothing that could be used. Those people were the craftiest people. They had the neatest, cleanest gardens I've ever seen in my life. Grew the best tasting vegetables. And it was all, just like my dad told me, I asked him, what was the secret of a good garden, and he said, all brawn and no brain. because my dad was a fantastic gardener. I mean, he loved his garden, without a doubt. But, what concerns me more than anything about the COVID situation is the fact that it has become a tool for the evildoers, as I call them. And I could tell you this for an absolute fact. I don't like hearing Joe Biden talk about it because he mumbles and I can't understand a word he's saying half the time. Now, that could be partially because I don't hear so well anymore, but every time he gets up and he talks about this COVID thing, he makes himself look stupid. You know, everybody knows that cloth mask, and I wanted to ask you about that, Patrick. Why in, well, they probably because they didn't have the equipment at that time. But years ago, you know, they used to wear those cloth masks, and I kept wondering why. It's not protecting you. It's damn sure not protecting the person you're operating on. And but now they use different. So why is that such an important issue? Is that for compliance?
Well, I think it's a plausible thing. The real problem with this is if I were being devious in running the government, I would have an entirely different, more gentle approach. I wouldn't be mandating things. I wouldn't say you have to have a vaccine. I would say everybody needs to be tested, but you can be exempt from testing if you have a vaccine so that it's always positive. You know, everybody mm-hmm. gets tested. We all get tested because we're all in together. We're going to treat everybody the same. If you're vaccinated, you can be exempt. That's positive, too. It's positive for them. It's positive for everybody. You don't have to pay for the test. You know, that's a much more psychologically healthy way to manage people by giving them things. We're going to give you free tests. We're going to exempt you from the tests you're always giving you. Instead, they're coming in and saying, I'm mandating the virus, the vaccine. I'm mandating it. You have to take it. You have to take a treatment that has not been approved by the FDA. You have to take it. Well, no way that you have to take an unapproved treatment. You know, the psychology that they're using is all wrong. And so the question is, are they so stupid that they don't know that it's wrong, or are they using it to divide the people?
Well,
I mean, the Democrats love nothing more than to divide rich from poor, and the blacks from the whites, and the vaxxed from the unvaxxed, and the masked from the maskless. You know, let's have as much conflict going on as we possibly can.
Which is also true. Yeah, because chaos out of order. And you know, like I mentioned earlier, Rahm Emanuel, never let good crisis go to waste. And they're using this I would play it off much differently too, but I would not tell them my strategy.
Well, now, there's nothing wrong with having public health. You know, I'm for that. I just really dislike the way they're doing it. I dislike the strangeness of Fauci saying, don't wear masks. Wear masks. Wear masks indoors. No, only wear them outdoors. No, you don't have to wear them outdoors. You know, it changes every few months. And that does not help. Now, the question is it authentically being done because they didn't know and they were discovering, or is it being done like everything else to create chaos? Now, we all know that they told people you don't need masks at the beginning because we didn't have masks. But they should have just said, we don't have masks. If we had masks, you could wear them, wear a handkerchief instead. You know, be honest with us. Don't say, well, we're reserving this for the people in the hospital, so you don't need masks. If everybody needs masks, we need masks. Don't say, you don't need a mask because we need them for other people.
Right.
They don't have a consistent message that's honest.
I just recently heard from somebody, his girlfriend is a, she works at a mortuary, so she picks up the bodies from hospitals, and then she also does the makeup on the carcasses, right. Oh my gosh, on the bodies. And her boyfriend actually goes on these runs with her because some of those bodies are quite heavy. And they live in a smaller town. But they'll go into a hospital, and the only thing that they are wearing when they pick up a body that allegedly this person has died of the Rona, they're only wearing masks. They're not even required to wear gloves. The gentleman said that he and his girlfriend definitely do wear gloves, but they're not required to. Now, again, if this virus is as deadly as they claim it to be, then everybody should be wearing virologist suits, not hazmat suits, virologist suits.
Well, and that's obviously impractical. And if you can't keep a mask on a 2-year-old, you're not going to keep them in a bubble. You know,
right.
we do ultimately have to live in a practical world. And
but it is crazy how they have pumped this and made people so afraid. I was in the grocery store. I used to be an in-home caregiver for the elderly. And so when all this erupted, I used to take my client to a non-friendly mask store, to the grocery store. So we didn't have to wear a mask. And this lady came up to me, and she's all geared up, you know, mask, gloves. She says, "You really should be wearing a mask." And I told her, "No, I really shouldn't be. I'm good." And I tried to be as polite as possible. But then, same grocery store, this homeless man was in the grocery store, and he sneezed. Okay. Then this woman, she was in front of me in the checkout line, and she starts griping and complaining to the cashier that this homeless man is walking around the store without a mask, and I'm right behind her, and I don't have a mask on. And I said, "Excuse me, maybe he has allergies." And she's going, and the whole time when she's talking, she's pulling down her mask and disciplining the cashier. And it was just, it was so comical to me that here she is pulling a Karen, and she's doing the same thing that she's accusing people of doing.
Without hypocrisy, we wouldn't have anything to talk about.
You know what? You're absolutely right. So what about them bears? The bears.
The fun meme that I saw recently, I'm sure you all saw it too, but another example of ultimate hypocrisy is when you're saying that everyone has a fundamental right to health care, but if you haven't been vaxxed, we're not going to put you in the ICU.
You
either have the fundamental right or we don't. You know, if we haven't, you take care of us, whether we're masked or vaxxed or whatever. It's a fundamental right. That's what you said. Oh, no, you didn't get back, so you're not in the club. So, again, without hypocrisy, we're going to have one to talk.
It is. It's crazy. It is so crazy.
What our responsibility is to find our own hypocrisies and deal with that, because that's what's up to us.
You know, but
right.
It is. It's so crazy. I mean, especially the Hippocratic Oath, isn't that... you're taking an oath to save people, not discipline them. I mean, you can give them your input. Hey, stop eating fatty McFat Fat. But as far as I don't want to treat you, even though you came into the ER, because you aren't vaccinated. One of my girlfriends, she knows somebody that got reprimanded because they're not vaccinated. And the doctor, the ER doctor basically said, don't come in here again unless you're vaccinated, because I won't treat you.
Oh, my God.
Now, what about in those cases? Oh, my goodness gracious. I mean, because...
well, one thing that we have to do is we have to not overreact to an anecdotal case. We don't
right.
know that it's true. It may be an exaggeration. We aren't there recording and interviewing the doctor to ask him to clarify what he means. We don't even know who he is. So we have to be very careful.
Well, yes, you're right.
Not to react to something that is maybe even true. And,
right.
That's very hard to do on Facebook because there's so much that you could spend your whole life trying to vet any meme or story or find some backup to it, and you go crazy. And there's only so much time that you can do, or only so much reason to do it. But you know, maybe
right.
before people reshare it. Better just have some validity to it.
Just like I had said.
And I'm guilty of that, too. I see a cute meme and I share it, and my daughter, who is on the liberal side of things, you know, says, well, is that really true? She comes up with 8 articles to refute what it was. You know, she does research for me.
Well,
and,
it is. Yeah, and I understand what you are saying, because I've had people, it's pretty obvious that, for one thing, it is a meme, and there is some humor to it. Okay, just, you know, but people take things so out of context now that it's so ridiculous, stupid. Like I say, people will pass a meme over, repost it a million times over. But if it comes to a serious article that they have to read, nobody's going to read it, because it takes effort. They actually have to do something. They have to apply themselves. And it is so sad.
Boy, try to read about immunology in real medical journals. It is beyond me. You know, I'm a trained physician. But they just started talking about all these chemicals that they didn't even know about when I was in medical school in the 70s.
Like I told Michael, I said, I think I'm just going to take online classes, you know, doctor classes, nurse classes, and without having to get my actual degree. What do you have a degree
well,
in? Common sense.
Well, there's no reason why anybody can't study whatever they're interested in.
Right.
You just don't take a $200,000 loan to get a degree in medieval Persian poetry.
Oh, my gosh.
My thoughts on that are, you go to college to get an education, but if you want a job, you go to a school of carpentry, welding school, or
trade
whatever
school.
Else. That's where the money is, a trade school, yeah. That's where you're going to be able to make a decent living wage.
Well, and I will tell you that that's exactly what I did. I went to college and got my education. I didn't follow anybody else's degree plan. Coming up to my senior year, I had as many hours in music theory and composition and philosophy and mathematics and sciences. I was like just a whole university scholar. And finally, I had to declare a major, and the easiest way that I could get a degree was to finish my math major and still have enough time to take electives and all the other things that I wanted to take. That was my approach. I made my education. After that, I went to my trade school. My trade school was medical school, but it really is a trade school. It's a highly technical, highly academic, highly intellectual, highly important trade school. But it might as well have been carpentry or engineering or, you know, something else, but my trade school happened to be medical school.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I learned how to do what I've done for now 42 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but you didn't get that way by just reading it out of a book. You had practical exercises and field experience and all that kind of stuff when you did your internship. So
that's right. You had to stick your fingers into all sorts of interesting places.
Well, I've been prodded and probed so many doggone times that makes me an expert. Pervert.
Well, and then, and you know, it's something that really there's something very special about the physician relations. Obviously, it's been abused in cases like the poor gymnast, but it's a very special relationship where you can surrender your body to be manipulated like that. I mean, it's for a very good purpose, but it's quite a privilege that should not be abused. And I mean, you don't walk down to the grocery store and just find a random person and say, "Here, come, you know, palpate my body."
Obviously, generally, you don't know me, do you, Patrick?
Well, are you in California? Where are you?
California.
Where are you, Eva?
In California.
Yeah, I remembered you were, so. Well, anything goes out there.
No, like I said, I'm just a proverbial smart ass, so so at least you're not offended by what I'm saying or anything like that.
No, because I think all three of us are that. We have different approaches to it. But I think, you know, Mike and I and you, we're all have the, you know, we look at the world with a little jaded look and a little askance here, because you have to take care of yourself, because this world is not going to take care of you. The world will take advantage of you, whether it's you know, business or government or, you know, other parties or whatever. So you have to think. You have to make your decisions on real information, not bogus information. And,
for sure.
And try to, you know, do the best you can. And throughout all of it, the most important thing is to maintain your peace of mind about it, because a lot of it, there's not anything that you can do about it. So you need to find your own peace of mind. You know, no matter how upset I am, Biden's going to be president, whether he really won or not or whatever. You know, I'm not going to lose my equanimity over the fact that that idiot is in the White House, that he's fumbling every aspect of American policy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's not anything
yeah.
I can do about it. I do take a little bit of consolation that my daughter, who voted for him, is now very disillusioned. You know, she was so anti-Trump that she voted for an idiot, and now she has to live under an idiot. So, you know, you get what you voted for.
Well, the 25th Amendment is looming closer and closer to Joe Biden, I can tell you that.
Well, I think that that's very scary, because who's going to replace him? You want Kamala or do you want Pelosi?
No, I don't want Kamala or idiot Pelosi. I don't want any of
them.
But the problem of it is, we're not going to be able to do anything about it until 2024. And,
well, actually, you know, there is things that can be done, Michael. You know me, Miss Protester and stuff. People are finally, you know, waking up. They have they're bringing out the National Guard right now in New York to replace essential workers. And this is, again, mind-boggling to me, is that they are putting non-essential workers into essential workers' positions, and they have no knowledge of what they're doing.
Well, let me ask you this. Who pays for the National Guard?
I'm presuming
each state. Each state pays for their own National
Guard. Each state pays their own National Guard.
You do have, yeah.
Because I certainly don't want to have the federal government paying for workers to go work jobs in New York.
So it is we, the people, that are ultimately paying, because I know California, Michael knows.
No, it's only the people who are productive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Only the half that actually does any good to the world is paying for it. And the other half are just, as Romney said, you know, they just receive.
They're leeches. Leeches,
well,
leeches,
see,
leeches.
Here's the problem that we have, though. You know, the uneducated, and I'm not picking on them, but, and the schools don't teach civics anymore. They don't teach anything about the Constitution. And I'll give you a perfect example. In the Constitution, or in the Declaration of Independence, it specifically says that every person has the inherent right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Nowhere in there does it say you will be happy. But you get all these rednecks from Arkansas and where I live now who are such, well, by God, the Constitution says that I can be happy. Well, not if you're shooting somebody, dude. You know, I mean,
that
we don't teach.
Well, there are two aspects of that. Regardless of what the Declaration says, it is not the Constitution or a law. It is an idea of how we might do things. And it was really just mainly saying that, you know, we're going to be separate from England more than establishing the system that we have. The life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness is copied from John Locke, the British, liberal thinker, liberal in the classic liberal sense. They changed his terms. His terms were life, liberty, and property. That is really what is contained in that idea. So he said that if you own something, you have the right to use it. A state does not have the right to take it, or anyone else. You have your life. You can live your life. No one should injure your life or take it from you. And your freedoms, you have the freedom to speak, to think, to share, to meet with people, to associate, to do business, to do anything that doesn't harm other people. So those are the concepts that were moved over, but they were plagued with guilt and shame when Jefferson wrote in the Declaration, because we all know that when they said that all men are created equal, they were mainly talking about all landed people. You know, we have the right to vote, and we have the right to be equal. And
well,
so they changed it from property, because it was looked like we're talking about us who have property. They changed the term to the pursuit of happiness, which would apply to all people, which was,
right,
I think, is a good change, but the emphasis, as you say, is on the pursuit, not the guarantee of happiness, but you can do whatever you want to use your liberty and your life to enjoy your life.
That's
but
exactly
you have to
right.
do it. And you don't have any right to make anybody else do it.
That's for sure. That's for sure. And see, that's
unfortunately,
where
we've come a long way from that.
Well, you're right about that. But you see, we have gotten to the point now where we've got, you know, people that simply say, look, I don't want to take the vaccine. I'm not sure about it. I'm not. I don't know enough about it. It hasn't been approved, blah, 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 or whatever the case may be. And then, of course, the news media gets a hold of or wind of that idea that people are circulating, and they increase it tenfold to the point where, oh, my God, the streets are panicking because nobody wants to wear a mask on this side, and everybody wants everybody to wear a mask on this side or get the vaccination or not get, you know, it has turned into a situation where even our own Supreme Court doesn't constitution anymore. And, you know, people will disagree with me all day long, very adamantly, but it's an absolute fact. I mean, because you can look at Roe versus...
part, Eldos, is what is the American system and how is it being changed? And we're in a big laboratory experiment of that right now.
Yeah.
The original system was a system of negative rights.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't positive rights, and we'll all explain that. They're negative rights. I have the right to enjoy my life, to enjoy my property, and to do the things that I want to do, to speak what I want to say, you know, and no one should interfere with that. People are forbidden from interfering with my doing things that don't harm people. You know, the anarchists, you know, I mm-hmm. just want to rule myself. And as long as I don't hurt other people, people should leave me alone.
And the exactly. basic concept of the U.S. government is that the purpose of government
is to have a system that keeps people from bothering other people. And keeps foreign nations from bothering all of us. That is what the government is there to do, originally.
Exactly.
But now it's converted to all this thing about, you know,
positive rights, that I have the right to tell you to wear a mask, the right to charge you a fee to get married, the right to own the title of your car and have you pay me $75 a year.
That the government now has the rights instead of the people.
Yeah.
Exactly. And this is so
mind
boggling.
The Constitution was written to make limited government, and the government has found ways and has been allowed to implement ways where, I mean, this is the insidious thing that just really gripes me.
And
so they do it for money. They do it for money.
Yeah. They do it
right.
For money.
And you have to show a photo ID to get a fishing license, but not to vote.
Is that so ridiculous?
But fishing is more important than voting for the president. Obviously, because we have to make
well,
sure we know
people, that might be true.
Well, but what it is that we need to know who to find to charge another fee to. When you have more than your catch allowed.
And then,
wait,
don't forget, now there's not only permits, but there's a special permit that you have to get, costs more money, and it serves the same purpose, but it has the word special in front of it, and it costs you more money. And
But see, what has happened now is, the government, which was supposed to have limited authority, with the states managing their own affairs.
Right.
Has now become
right.
the funder of everything. And when
exactly.
they become the funder of everything, they get to write to say, well, we will fund you if you do this. If you teach
yep.
critical race theory, then you will fund you. If you have transvestites reading stories to your children, then we'll fund you.
Okay,
you know,
see,
that's not the role of the federal
you brought up.
To keep bothering each other and to keep foreign nations foreign.
My sister.
We've just allowed it to become this leviathan that has tentacles reaching into every aspect of everybody's life.
Right. Right. This critical race theory, I'm glad you brought that up. My sister and I were talking. I said, okay, for one, it's so ridiculous. First of all, they're taking the word critical, which is negative. Okay, a race, everybody has a race. Okay, theory, which is a hypothesis. And so it's like so asinine, but when you put CTR or CRT in, people just like, oh my gosh, critical race theory. It's, oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. It's like, can't they?
Well, now, again, let me, this is an issue of, is nuclear energy good?
Is it clean energy?
It's clean.
I'm saying.
And you know, as long as the nuclear energy is using to run my toaster, it's good.
Of course it's good, because it serves a purpose to you.
Purpose. So all virtue lies in the use.
Right. Exactly.
Energy is power. You know, concentrated helium is power. Concentrated, dynamite is power. It has a lot of chemical potential energy. You can use it to excavate to build a dam, or you can use it to blow up a building. So it's all, the virtue is going to only be in the use of power. And therein lies the problem with critical race theory. I'm all for critical race theory. I am an advocate, because the critical race theory begins in studying how does the society work. You know, yes, white people are in power. Why wouldn't they try to remain in power? You know, they may not be consciously discriminating against people, but if they are for each other, then that's kind of a way, you know, they're looking at the dynamics for how society works. That's the theory. That's the study of how does race play into the dynamics of society. And there's nothing wrong with studying that. But that's not what's being taught.
What's being taught is
white people are bad and they should apologize, you know, to every black person they see about how bad they are.
Okay,
and we should pay reparations. You know,
just like,
that's not what critical race theory really is.
Yeah, but just like
it's,
when...
But it's how it's being used.
It's the jargon for power. Yes, it is. It's the jargon and how it is used. Just like when Trump said that he was a nationalist, okay? He not once said that he was a white nationalist, which are two totally different things, okay? And people just took that, put the word white in front of nationalist, because I'm a nationalist too. I'm all for my country. Okay?
The word is patriot.
Exactly. Well, yes, that is another word for it. But, you know, he used the terminology nationalist. They put the word white in front of it.
And he happens to be white. So therefore, he's a white nationalist.
And he's a supremacist, you know.
No one is really honestly using the words. You know, they're spun by the media.
For sure.
So you know, they can say, well, he's a white man, and he says he's a nationalist, so he's now a white nationalist, which has the connotations of skinheads and all that.
Right.
And they're doing that deliberately to keep the people and to get on their article.
For sure. But it's like, can I just not like somebody without being called a racist? In my eyes, I can't.
What Martin Luther King said, that we don't want to judge people by the color of their skin, but by their character.
Yep.
So when you
by the content of the character.
Who is right.
Yeah, and then look at what happened to him.
That's really what
and
you treat each person, regardless of their race, you know, how do you behave as a human being? Do you treat other people decently? Do you work hard for your own benefits?
Mm-hmm.
you know, if you do those things, then you have good character.
Yeah.
But if you're trying
to leak
off of everybody else or abuse other people, then you don't have good character. If you're trying to spend your life making other people do your will, you don't have good character.
Right.
Well, see, that's
right.
That's the thing about what I don't like about the media, especially with the nationalism thing, because all nationalism really means is the identification to one's own country and its interests, and the pursuit of preventing other countries from overtaking us. I mean, or words to that effect. I don't know the exact definition, but basically that's what it is, that you as a person identify with the country or the nation you live in, and you follow and pursue the interest of that nation. And, of course, that's what Trump was doing in his own mind. But, like you said, the media, aha, we got one of those aha moments. I can nail his butt. I mean, there was no doubt that there was a, I don't like to use the word coup, because if you look at the definition of a coup, a coup is military. I forget what the other one is, but the point is that most people use the word coup wrong. I see that all the time on Facebook. They have no idea what it means, and it's the idea of being a nationalist is not wrong, in my opinion. I mean, look at what Saudi Arabia did in 1911. The British Petroleum Ministry had every oil well over there. And the Saudis said, no, that's our oil. And so they nationalized those wells. And guess what? The British didn't like that. But, oh, well. You know, did the Saudis have the right to do that? Of course they did. That comes from their land. Nobody has the right to take it, but they have the right to distribute it the way they want.
The way they want.
Well, of course, Trump was right about many things. We had been supporting Europe, and Rand Paul found, you know, in one of those foreign aid bills that he was looking at, that, you know, we're giving foreign aid to China, that we're actually borrowing money from China to give them the foreign aid and paying them the interest on the money that we borrowed so that we can give them foreign aid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this government is crazy.
Oh,
and then it's going to be just absolutely crazy. Why do they need us to give them foreign aid?
It's
they
kind
have
of,
all of our money.
It's kind of like the chicken and the beef industry, you know. Here we grow the chickens here, then we send them over to China to get you know, plucked.
Infected.
And prepare, pretty much, yeah. And then we pay for them to ship them back to the United States, and we sell them. What? Oh my gosh! I don't want to knock men, okay? But who came up with this genius plan? Okay, who came up with it? And mind you, that those like meat factories and stuff are nasty smelling. I'm presuming that you have a lot in Texas, or you used to. But when I lived in Colorado, oh my gosh, you could smell the slaughter place for literally like 10, 15 miles away from the plant. It was so nasty. But whoever did come up with that idea, it's like, shame on you.
Well, I don't even want to think about the food industry.
Oh my God!
It's nauseating, isn't it? Oh, here's. Did you hear about this, Patrick? Is that they are they actually got a grant. I can't tell you exactly who offhand, but I'll have to refine the article. But they got a grant to put the vaccine, the Rona vaccine, into greens that they're growing, say lettuce and all the other little greens that go into salads. And they're saying that that is another way that they're going to get people vaccinated.
Well,
like Alendra, whether they deliver a product or not. You know,
yeah.
It's all about money flowing through the government to buy political favors. And I'll tell you, interesting insight that I read several years ago when I used to be a very happy person, just minding my own business, writing music, and growing my plants or whatever. And then I discovered it takes about, I guess, during the Bush-Gore times and all the Obama stuff, crazy stuff that's going on now. And I wish I didn't know it. I wish I was just back.
Wow. But one thing that I learned is that political power is created by treating people unequally before the law.
Right.
That
it is.
We say we're all equal before the law, but that's not how politics works.
Absolutely not.
It works by creating different. See, I would have been all for Obamacare if they had really done it by the models in Europe. And the models in Europe, everybody has like a 1.7% tax on all of the earned income. Everybody. And everybody gets the same benefit. That's equality before the law. That's how they do it in those semi-socialist countries in Europe that we subsidize. Obamacare said, we are going to tax this group in order to give a benefit to this other group. So they treated people unequally in this law. And you see this over and over and over again. We're going to fund child working credits, but we're going to pass a tax on the wealthy. They can play just their little fair share a little bit more. And now we'll tax the corporations, we'll tax anything that makes productivity, because productivity is power, and they don't want anybody to have power. They want all the power to be in the government.
Mm-hmm.
And we're lucky we've held out this long with the amount of sovereignty that states have, but it's slipping away very fast. Every time governors give away something in order to, or every time they receive money from the government, it's going to have all these springs, and there's consolidating power in the central government, which is not the way our whole system is supposed to work. But watch for that principle about how they're creating power by treating people unequally.
I think that has been blatant smack dab in our face, because they hide everything in plain sight. It's nothing, you know, just like Nancy Pelosi and her famous line, and it had to do with Obamacare. We have to pass a bill in order to know what is in the bill. Bullshit. I mean, bull poop. I'm sorry, Michael.
All right.
I'm so sorry.
You know,
okay.
The rules are just the health of them.
It wasn't the F-bomb, okay, but baloney, okay, because Nancy Pelosi, you should know what is in the bill before you pass it. She just recently is him on with that about this $3 trillion bill that they're trying to pass that has all this pork added in there. And this is, and it's always been, especially, well, more in the recent years, that it is so obvious is the haves and the have-nots, okay? Nancy Pelosi, it's okay for the Pelosi family and the Feinstein family to do insider trading, but yet Martha Stewart, and I'm not a big fan, but Martha Stewart goes to prison because of it. This is, you know, and that has been so blatant, slapped in our faces, just like the masks.
Without hypocrisy, what would we talk about?
I'm sorry?
Without hypocrisy, what would we talk about?
you know, over and over again. How does your garden grow? Okay. You know, there are
just a little bit about vaccines.
There are just,
I think we, because there are some important things, I think, if we actually have any viewers to say about vaccines, that
they do work. They do work.
But how about,
and
how about,
we don't know what else they do, but they do work. Now,
okay, but why? Okay, this is my question. And you're not a virologist, so maybe you can't answer this for me. But why do they feel the need to put aborted fetus matter into these vaccines? Why do they find the need to put animal DNA into these vaccines? This is mad science, and this is not how it should be, because it does change, it fiddles with our DNA. Does it not?
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about, because there's a lot of misunderstanding there. Not necessarily in you, but just who knows how vaccines work. So you will be told, for instance, that, oh, there are other approved AstraZeneca and Johnson, those are viral vector. They're not mRNA vaccines. They are viral vector vaccines. They basically do the same thing, but they do it by giving you a modified virus that actually invades your body and injects the RNA and ends up making the immunity. So it does work to do that. But they will say, oh, well, this is an established technology. Well, if you actually research that, there is only one FDA-approved viral vector vaccine, and that's for Ebola. I mean, this is fact. And how many people do you know who've had an Ebola vaccine?
I personally know nobody.
We don't. It's never used, so there's not a lot of field experience in how safe it is and whatever, because nobody uses it, because we don't have Ebola running around our country. I don't know using it in Africa or not, but when you hear, oh yes, it's an approved model, and there are other vaccines, but there's only one.
Oh, and I'm not, I don't believe in the FDA myself, just due to the fact that the majority of the letterbox agencies, I don't. Especially the Food Death Agenda, FDA, because they are forever, you know, this is FDA approved, and then all of a sudden, 6 months down the road, you're hearing a commercial.
We have to understand the role of federal regulation of anything. The role of federal regulations is to erect barriers of entry for new competitors in a market.
That's why we have regulation. In other words, Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson, you know, they're already long established vaccine and pharma company. Novavax is a recent entrant into the market. Have you even heard of Novavax?
Yes, I have.
And what do you know about Novavax?
Very little, but I have heard of it.
Okay, you've heard of it. Well, they're a small company in Maryland.
I have not done
US.
My research.
They have developed a vaccine, and they can't get emergency authorization. Now, the FDA keeps making all of these requirements about productivity and need more data and all this kind of stuff. Well, to me, this is just corporate warfare because Pfizer, who already has an approved vaccine, and Moderna, who's coming up to be approved, they don't want a new entrant into the market. So they're using this regulatory agency to keep competitors out. This is what federal regulation does.
Yeah, it's because, you know, these specific
companies. And it's in transportation.
Companies.
It's in car seat design.
Everything.
You realize if you have a grandchild and you have a car seat, the car seat expires. It has an expiration date on it.
If you use
that car seat beyond the expiration date, you can get a ticket.
Because you need a special permit.
You have to now go buy a new one because your car seat, it expired. How does the car seat expire?
The most bizarre
thing about this is, speaking of FDA and food and all, is when you go and buy some of this pink Himalayan salt,
yeah,
and they advertise that this salt was laid down 100 million years ago. And then you see on the little plastic package, because you can't buy anything without plastic, it says expiration date 2024. So you're telling me this salt has been lying around for 100 million years, and now just because I bought it in this plastic package, it's going to expire in 2 years? I wouldn't want to eat it after it expired. It might hurt me. This is what regulation is doing. It's just bizarre.
There are so many people
because
that
the FDA is protecting
it. Is buy into that expiration date crap. I had a boyfriend at one time, and his daughter, she's a teenager at the time, and you know, there's a date stamped on shampoo bottles, okay, and it's the date that it was bottled, okay. She thought it was the expiration date, so she would not ever use shampoo if it exceeded that date. And it's like, your kid is a spoiled little brat, okay? She's a brat.
But they can tell you everything about Michael Jackson, or I don't even know who these little pop singers are. Don't get me started on modern pop music. I can't stand it. There's no music there. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about vaccines and Novavax. I mean, this is really important stuff.
So there is only one other approved viral vector, and that's for Ebola, that nobody uses. The mRNA strategy, it works. It does deliver the RNA into your cells and makes your own cells, actually both the viral vector and the mRNA, to make your own cells look like viruses.
Right.
Because your own cells are now producing spike protein. Well, the body recognizes spike protein as a foreign protein, so it develops immunity against it and will go and destroy the cells that are making it.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that not autoimmunity?
You're the doctor.
Well, this is what was going on in my mind last December when the virus vaccines were starting to become available. And I said, well, why would I want to take something into a cell? Now, it's not necessarily changing my DNA. This, particularly the Moderna and Pfizer, they never get into the nucleus. But why do I need to make my cells look like a virus in order to get my own immune system to attack my own cells? That did not sound like a good plan to me. At the same time, as I was researching all vaccines, I came up with Novavax. Their strategy is beautifully simple. They make the spike protein in a laboratory, and they give it to you. Nothing goes into your cells. You have a little bit of spike protein circulating around locally, and your immune system says, something strange, let's develop immunity against it. But we're not attacking your own cells. We're only attacking the protein that's not where it's supposed to be. And doesn't that sound like a better approach?
But
yeah,
it does.
Does
it make them money, though? I mean,
if they could get approval, but Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson don't want them to become approved because they're making the money now. They don't want somebody else to make it.
Yep. Hey, I just wanted to remind you about the time.
Okay. This is one little idea that, you know, the Pfizer, Moderna, they have to be refrigerated to sub-zero temperatures. Moderna can be stored in a normal refrigerator. Novavax. So it's going to be the vaccine for the third world because it doesn't require any special handling. And it's going to be the vaccine for the rest of the world if we can't get it available for us here. At the time, in December of last year, my clinic was going to give everybody Moderna vaccines. And I knew that Novavax was going to start a clinical trial. And I enrolled in their clinical trial, so I have the Novavax vaccine. I had no problem getting it because I liked the idea. So I am a vaccinated person, and I have actually had antibodies taken that shows that I have vaccine-induced antibodies to spike protein. And so, you know, I feel fairly good about approaching the world of COVID. I'm still cautious, but I carefully picked the vaccine that I would take.
One question for you, though. Does that particular vaccine, is there a possibility of shedding?
No. I mean, they give you a limited amount of the spike protein, and your immune system gobbles it up and remembers how to make antibodies against it. So, you know, they don't really give you very much, and it's not replicating in your body like the other ones do. It's a static chemical they give you, and you're not going to make more of it. You know, the others, your body has to make the spike protein. Well, in this one, they're just giving you the spike protein. It's very straightforward.
I think, Michael, maybe you should do a show next week and have Patrick as a returning guest. Because this show, I mean, 2 hours is not long enough.
Yeah, that's true. And we only have about, I can go a little bit into overtime, but not very much. And I mean, the way Blog Talk operates, they give you like 5, 10, or 15 minutes extra.